Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. But the Raiders managed to get the win over the Los Angeles Chargers, 31-26. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they did it. It doesn't matter that the Chargers took it all the way down to the final second of the game, and on two straight plays, two confusing play calls by the Chargers and Anthony Lynn, along with Justin Herbert, who's very good, by the way. Didn't matter that it came all the way down to that. They're still 5-3 on the year. The top seven seeds are making it to the playoffs. The Raiders are in sixth at the moment, 5-3, and I don't think any Raider fan could ask for anything better right now, as they had two straight division games for the AFC West, going on to play the Broncos next week, who just got their asses handed to them by the Atlanta Falcons after beating the Chargers the week before. But hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. It is Black Hole Sundays, the Raider podcast, by me, Stephen Langford. You may know me from 95.7 on the pregame show from 5 to 6 every single morning, Monday through Friday. So I guess not every single morning. But thank you to 95.7 for letting me do this. I just want to share my overall thoughts on the game and everything in between. Want to get to my difference-making plays of the game, and then we're going to grind out some sound with Gruden, but this is going to be a celebratory podcast. There were some things to not be too thrilled with, and I'll get to those in a second, but I just want to say that I am incredibly impressed with this team's guts. You know, the resilience that they've shown. For one, let's just start with these backups. The offensive line, Trent Brown out for at least another month due to COVID. Not even sure if he's going to play for the rest of the season. So we had that news. Sam Young has played very well over there at right tackle, and we didn't hear his name all day, which is great in this game. So we already have that, and that's, you know, we're used to it at this point. Same thing with Denzel Good at left guard with Richie Incognito out on injured reserve. Denzel Good, to be honest, I think he's been playing well enough to the point where he can be a starter in this league. Richie Incognito, though, is just that much better. Colton Miller, left tackle, he was out with an injury, even though he was a game-time decision. Brandon Parker did a hell of a job in his stead, got the game ball from Gruden as well as Isaiah Johnson. We'll get to him in a second. But they stepped up. And with Alec Ingold getting hurt in the first half, him being the primary lead blocker for Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker, I thought the interior of the offensive line did an excellent job opening up lanes for those guys and in the second half and getting them, you know, to touchdowns and getting them to the point on the field where Derek Carr could make the big throws and they could get touchdowns out of it. So I thought the offensive line, for one, stepping up when they needed to, incredible job with a bunch of those guys hurt. The secondary, you had Damon Arnett out, obviously, rookie from Ohio State. Trayvon Mullen got hurt in the first half with a hammy. Now he's their best cornerback on the team. Him getting hurt, you'd think that this game would be over just because you got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Guyton who can make plays. But Isaiah Johnson came in his place, and he made the biggest stops of the game. Keyshawn Nixon, a backup, also out. But the secondary, they played okay. They didn't play the greatest game, but they still stepped up and got the win in the end despite being hurt all over. So we got to shout them out. Here's where else they showed a little bit of guts. All right. Now, the third quarter situation, the beginning of the fourth quarter, when Gruden elected to punt on fourth and two, that's a situation where they were driving down the field, running it down their throat. The interior of the offensive line was taking advantage of the Chargers, and I thought that they would have probably converted if they would have gone for it on fourth and two. However, they didn't go for it. Then the Chargers come back and score at the end of the fourth quarter, and they didn't really come back from that. That was a decision that could have been scary, but at the end of the first half, when Gruden elects to continue to try and make plays out of nothing when they're deep in their own territory toward the end of the first half, instead of running out the clock, going into the locker room tied 14-14, instead he tries passing the ball twice in a row. Then Derek Carr gets sacked, Derek Carr gets stripped, and the ball comes loose, and they get a field goal out of it. They go 17-14, but the Raiders come back out of the locker room, and they score on two straight drives. So the fact that they even did that, it just shows me that this team is built different than the ones in years past. A couple of more overall thoughts. Derek Carr has his confidence back. That's really what I'm seeing here. Now, that loss to the Buccaneers, it was tough, but Derek Carr, he didn't play that bad of a game, and he's had some issues when it's just the big moment is a little too much, and he starts to overthink it, but this time, he seems that he's just being gone back into rhythm, back to being that 2016 Derek Carr who's not afraid to throw it downfield. I think his average depth of target was between 12 and 13 yards, which is insane for this game. And even though his stats weren't crazy in this one, I thought Derek Carr played a hell of a football game, and you could just tell that he's going out there and knowing that he can pick apart a defense if he really wants to. Now, there are a couple of throws that he could have made a little better. There were other situations where, you know, Darren Waller could have picked him up on a certain play. But overall, I think he just has total command of the offense, and the confidence that he's showing, it's back to being in 2016. You could just see the difference there. So Derek Carr, for me, when he shows that he's confident on the field, I'm confident in the offense going forward, especially against the Broncos coming up next week. Justin Herbert's good. Yeah, Justin Herbert's good. I mean, we saw him make a couple of big-time throws, but once he gets that touch, there was one in the end zone that he missed to Mike Williams where he could have hit him in stride, and Mike Williams, even him, with his length and his size, even he couldn't get him with his outstretched arms. But I think Justin Herbert, if he manages to find that touch on his passes and get a little more accurate in the red zone, he's already got the deep ball. We saw that twice, and we saw that, you know, Keenan Allen was wide open on that play on the touchdown, but we saw a couple of different times where this dude, it just doesn't look like he's a rookie quarterback. And there are a couple of moments at the end of the game with the goal line fades, and there's a certain situation, which we'll get to in the difference-making plays of the game, where Justin Herbert could improve, but overall, completing 28 of 42 of his throws for 326 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and he didn't turn the ball over. I think he's going to be very good in the AFC West for a very long time, and I'm actually looking forward to when the Raiders play him a second time. He's just a really fun player to watch. Also, I'm just loving the story of Aguilar, Jason Witten, Devontae Booker, all of those guys. I know Witten's not so much in it, but there were a couple of key plays in here, one being that Josh Jacobs touchdown where Witten threw a key block. It's just fun watching these guys' resurgence, man. Nelson Aguilar and Devontae Booker getting a couple of big TDs in this game. They've been fantastic, and watching them on the veteran minimum, it's been one of the most fun parts of this season. Devontae Booker and Nelson Aguilar, both, you thought their seasons were over, and their careers were over, and Jason Witten went into the booth, you thought he was done, comes out of retirement, goes to the Cowboys, goes to the Raiders, look what he does. He's making plays out there. I just think it's a lot of fun to watch these guys. But let's catch up with the silver and black factors that we named last week. Let's start with Darren Waller. He was my number three silver and black factor on offense. Now, he had the touchdown, but he also had the drop. He was only held to 5 receptions for 22 yards. He didn't have a great game in this one. Gus Bradley drew up a good game plan. I thought he was going to have a much better time against these linebackers who haven't been great in coverage this year. I thought he was going to have a big game. However, they did target him the most out of anybody. They targeted him 10 times in this one, but he only caught 5 of those targets for 22 yards. But he did have the touchdown. Not that great of a game for Darren Waller. My number two guy, Colton Miller, left tackle. Didn't work out too well for me. He was out all week with practice. Didn't know whether he was going to play or not, but I felt like if he was going to be in the game, then he'd have to block Melvin Ingram. I put Colton Miller as my number two dude. Turns out Brandon Parker, starting at left tackle, did just fine. Was very happy with Brandon Parker. But Colton Miller being my number two guy, not much to write home about there. But my number one dude was Nelson Agholor. He had 2 receptions for 55 yards. The one big one being the touchdown in the end zone on the first possession in the second half. So turned out that he did okay, but he was my number one. So there it was. 3 was Darren Waller. 2 was Colton Miller. And number one was Nelson Agholor. And on defense, my number 3 silver and black factor on defense was Nick Kwiatkowski. Now, this team has not been very good at tackling, just in general. That's as simple as I could put it. But he had 10 total tackles on the day, leading the team by a large margin, including one that'll be a difference-making play of the game. But he was my number 3 silver and black factor going into this one. Number two was Cleveland Furrell on defense. His only sacks in his career have come against the Chargers. So I figured that he was going to get one in this game, and he almost did. In the first quarter. But it didn't end up being a sack. However, he did have a couple of big plays getting to run stuff, which will also be on the difference-making plays of the game. I thought Cleveland Furrell would be my number two simply because of that, getting his first sack on the season. My number one silver and black factor on defense was LaMarcus Joyner. He had 6 total tackles on the day. He didn't have the greatest day ever, but I also thought that he was going to be lined up more along Keenan Allen, and that was why he was going to be my silver and black factor. I thought he was going to have a much bigger role in coverage, but he did have a big role at stopping the run, getting 6 total tackles, and he did make the difference in this game, but ultimately he wasn't the guy to watch. I should have put Isaiah Johnson as my number one, not knowing that he would come in for Trayvon Mullen. But speaking of which, I've mentioned this multiple times with Kwiatkowski and Cleveland Furrell, the difference-making plays of the day. Let's get to them.
In the old days, we'd practice in the afternoon 2 more times in pads. Nowadays, I get incarcerated for that.
If you are just joining this podcast for the first time, well, hello. But also, any recap show, I like to go through the difference-making plays of the day. Not the ones that's in the final seconds, the Isaiah Johnson getting the 2 stops, not the touchdowns. It's not always all about that. I just think I like to highlight some plays that people might not be paying attention to that made a difference in this game or could have possibly made a difference in this one. So I like to go through ones that maybe no one is paying attention to and give credit where credit is due. I will make some honorable mentions, though. These aren't really difference makers, but they are fun plays to watch. Jonathan Abram absolutely laying the wood on Joshua Kelly toward the end of the second quarter. I'm telling you, when this guy sees he has tunnel vision. When he sees the running back, his anticipation, his speed, the fact that he knows where, how he just goes through everybody and manages to hit these dudes. Jonathan Abram, he's due for at least 1 or 2 big plays like that a game. He's so fun to watch. There are times in coverage where he's having some issues, but I feel like when he makes a beeline for the running back, there's no one in football that's as fun to watch as Jonathan Abram in those situations. Max Crosby with the sack on 1st and 10. Now, it didn't matter because they did score at the end of that, but still a nice play by him to start out the drive. Carl Nassib also picking up a sack of his own when they're on 3rd and 6 deep in the Chargers territory. So shout outs to those guys. Then Hunter Renfrow, his return from the 12, which took it 13 yards up to the 25, and the Raiders would go on to score. It was a great punt by the Chargers punter, and he manages to take it from the 12, take it 13 yards, even though he could have been hit at that time, and that ended up proving to be a difference maker, but not so much up to the standard of what I'm trying to get to at here. And Herbert, not getting to the line quick enough to spike the ball when Mike Williams made the catch with 19 seconds left. They took 12 off the clock, and there were only 7 seconds left, and they only had time to run a couple of plays. Taking 12 seconds off the clock, it was huge. There were 25 seconds left in total. It took 6 seconds for that play to actually happen. And then they ended up taking 12 seconds to go and spike the ball. He should have had that team down there way quicker than that. But let's get to the difference-making plays. Now, let's start off in the first quarter. It's 3rd-and-1 on the Raiders 29, and Cleveland Furrow gets the run stuff. Now, this one might have gone unnoticed because a lot of these tend to at the beginning of the game, but it was a big play it was a big play in the first quarter. For one, he stuffed them 1.5 yards back, so they couldn't even go for it on fourth if they wanted to, but even on third down as well, if they would have converted, it could have been a different outcome, even though it was early in the game with 9 minutes left in the first. So Cleveland Furrow's run stuff with 9 minutes left in the first quarter, that's my number one difference maker. Number two, it was 3rd-and-10 on the Chargers 42 with 5 minutes and 32 seconds left in the first. Again, Jalen Richard with a 19-yard reception. Now, Richard has been such a nice go-to on these third and longs if you want a pass catcher out of the backfield. And he did it twice against the Browns, twice in a row when they got to third down. But now he did it against the Chargers in the first quarter. He shook safety Rayshon Jenkins out of his shoes on the route, and then he fights for the extra yardage. Then the very next play, Booker scores the 23-yard touchdown. But without that Jalen Richard reception and him fighting to get those extra yards, I can guarantee you that Devin Booker doesn't score on that next play. I mean, shout out to Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson for bouncing to the outside, pulling to the outside, and giving an opening to Booker for him to just run straight into the end zone. But again, that TD doesn't happen without the Jalen Richard 19-yard reception. Hopefully, that doesn't go unnoticed. So there are a couple from the first quarter. Cleveland Furrow's run stuff on 3rd-and-1 and Jalen Richard's 19-yard reception on 3rd-and-10 on the Chargers 42. Moving on to the second quarter, it's 2nd-and-6 on the Chargers 15 with 9 minutes and 56 seconds left. The defensive line gets pressure that leads to a sack on the next play. Now, I mentioned in the honorable mentions, Carl Nassib got the sack on the 3rd-and-6, which forced the Chargers to punt, and that's a big play that everyone's going to focus on. But it was the pressure on Herbert the play before that stood out to me, with their backups, no less. Now, they had players open on the field. The Chargers did. Herbert had options, and he probably would have hit one of those options in stride without the pressure that got to him. But instead, the interior blew up the play and left Justin Herbert with no other choice besides to try and step up and maybe make a play out of it. But they made it tough on him. Then obviously Nassib would get the sack on the next play on 3rd-and-6. But if you can, watch that 2nd-and-6 play on the Chargers 15 with 9:56 left and watch the pressure from the interior to make Justin Herbert rattled and have him just throw the ball on the ground, basically. It wasn't intentional grounding, but again, just watch that play, and I'm telling you, that's one I think that made a huge difference with 9:56 left in the second. Now it's 2nd-and-9. Let's get to the next play. It's 2nd-and-9 on the Raiders 37. Right after the 2-minute warning in the second, this is Isaiah Johnson drawing the penalty. This is my only difference maker that favors the Chargers, but the Raiders had just scored with Josh Jacobs, and you know, the blocking by Alec Ingold, Sam Young, Jason Witten on the right side was terrific, and I think that it just highlighted the awareness that Josh Jacobs had. I mean, he's got it all. He's got the speed, he's got the moves, he's got the awareness to know that you can't touch your knee out of bounds, you can't touch your knee on the ground, and you can't get out of bounds in that situation, and you got to get to the pylon. That is Josh Jacobs in a nutshell. I thought that was a great play. But on the drive after, when the Chargers went downfield, Herbert throws one up for Guyton. Isaiah Johnson just got into the game because Trayvon Mullen is hurt, and somehow they call an offensive pass interference. Now, why was this a difference maker? Because it shouldn't have been an offensive pass interference. As a matter of fact, it should have been a no call. It really was a non sequitur, and it should have been a no call. It was a play that it just felt, okay, I mean, he caught it out of bounds, but what did that really do? I didn't see much contact. Maybe this is on Johnson, but they ended up calling it on the Chargers. Then two plays later on 3rd-and-16, Hunter Henry sets a pick for Mike Williams to get the first down, and Mike Williams catching it out of bounds, and Hunter Henry setting the pick on Nevin Lawson. That's one that was a blatant penalty. That's illegal because Hunter Henry has his back to the quarterback, as Mark Schlereth mentioned. And I think that that was a play where the refs were just trying to make up for that terrible offensive pass interference call that they called on Guyton there. So I think that that was a makeup call, and then that led to the Keenan Allen TD before the half. So that was my difference-making play of the game. Isaiah Johnson getting the offensive pass interference called for him, and ultimately leading to the touchdown. I think that that was a difference-making play of the game. I mean, if they don't call that penalty, who knows? And maybe it just doesn't lead to that Hunter Henry non-call. But again, I think that that was a huge play in the game. Another difference-making play, Jalen Richard again on this list. The 44-yard kick return right at the start of the third quarter, and it led to the Nelson Agholor touchdown. Now, they ran the ball with Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs continuing to look great. But the O-line came up huge as soon as the quarter started, and they're the reason why they set up that Agholor TD. It was a great throw by Carr. It wasn't exactly in stride, not like the one with Kyler Murray to Christian Kirk against the Dolphins, but it was still a great play nonetheless. But it all started with that Jalen Richard kickoff return to put him in good enough field position. And funnily enough, they had already had... They had been last in overall special teams efficiency, according to Football Outsiders, the Chargers were, and it proved that the Chargers did not look good on special teams. They've been very consistent with that. I didn't mention that in the preview show, but their special teams was ranked 32nd, according to Football Outsiders. But on the next drive, it's 3rd and 4 on the Raiders 32 in the third quarter. The Renfro 53-yard reception to set them up for the Darren Waller touchdown. Look, I don't have much to say on this, but this was just another reason as to why Carr's got his confidence back, and it looked like 2016 Carr. Carr was impeccable on this drive, first of all, but on this play, he was rolling right, and you could tell that he was communicating with Renfro to go deep. Renfro ends up changing up his route, going down the sideline, and Carr puts that ball right on the spot as he's on the run, Carr puts the ball on the spot as he's running, and that was one of Carr's best plays, not only in the game, not just in the game, but in the year. It was something that made you think, wow, Carr has really got his confidence back. And then he follows it up on that 3rd and 10 with that slow motion drive, which cracked me up. That was one where, like, I mean, you know, a lot of you are probably not going to like this comparison, but screw it, okay? I'm a Harry Potter fan. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It reminded me of a situation where, like, they put a spell on a guy and he moves in slow motion while everyone else is still going at regular speed. That's what it reminded me of. It's like he's suspended in midair when he was diving for the first down and Mark Schlereth going nuts, but... That just entire drive for Derek Carr and getting two straight scores again off of that second half blunder when they were down 17-14, and then it made it 28-17. So that 3rd and 4, 53-yard reception from Renfro to set up the touchdown, I thought that was a difference-making play of the game. And this last one that I got, look, it's in the fourth quarter, and we can look at the final two plays, and those were the biggest ones, but to me, this was a difference maker. Max Crosby's hit on Justin Herbert, leading to Kwiatkowski getting that two-point conversion stop. Now, the Chargers did score, and Herbert, just an unbelievable throw to the fullback. That play design was just... It was great. They were in offset eye formation. The fullback goes to the left, and it's the whole point is to draw the defense completely away, not even thinking about the fullback, and they're going to essentially set a screen for him. But as Herbert is hit by Max Crosby, he's able to complete the pass to the fullback, and it's a touchdown. But Crosby does enough to get Herbert out of the game for a snap, and instead of electing to call the timeout and let Justin Herbert get a breather so he can come back in, Tyrod Taylor goes in for the two-point conversion, and it was Kwiatkowski who stonewalled him when he had a clear path to the end zone, which made it 28-26. It could have been a tie ball game if Kwiatkowski doesn't get that tackle. Number 3 on the silver and black factors to watch in this game. Just going to throw that out there. But In the end, 28-26, they kicked the field goal afterwards, and it's 31-26. And the Chargers, we all know what happens in the final plays of the game. But those were my difference makers, ones that I don't think should go unnoticed. But let me just say, those final two plays, for one, we already mentioned in the honorable mentions that Justin Herbert running the clock all the way out on that drive, just not getting his team to the line, not set, and only letting 7 seconds left on the clock to run a few plays instead of possibly having 10 or 12. So I think that they made a mistake there. But also, Anthony Lynn going for two straight goal line fades, one of which, the first one I understood because it's Mike Williams. You get Mike Williams one-on-one up against one of these Raider corners, you're going to go after him. That's fine. And it was a good play made by Isaiah Johnson there. But to go for it a second straight time and also to go out there with the same formation that you went out there with, I'm sorry, but that's just a terrible play call. You got to go out with something different instead of two straight goal line fades, the lowest percentage play in football. That wasn't going to work. Now, it was close to because the ball almost hit the ball came out last second. But again, I didn't know what they were doing on that play. It proved to be the difference, and it kind of shows that the Chargers' bad luck outweighs the Raiders' bad luck, even though they were driving downfield. And quite frankly, it saved Gruden's ass, that play. Because if that play, if they get the touchdown there and they get the win, we would all be talking today about how they didn't go for it on 4th-and-2 and decided to punt instead. But to go through it one more time, the difference-making plays of the game, the 3rd-and-1 with 9:06 left in the first, Cleveland Furrow with the run stuff, then 3rd-and-10 with 5:32 left in the first, Jalen Richard's 19-yard reception that led to Booker's touchdown, 2nd-and-6 on the Chargers 15 with 9:56 left in the second, the D-line, the interior defensive line, getting the pressure that led to the sack on 3rd-and-6 by Carl Nassib. Then the 2nd-and-9 on the Raiders 37, right after the 2-minute warning, Isaiah Johnson drawing that offensive pass interference penalty, which I think led to them not calling Hunter Henry with the pick play on Nevin Lawson, which got Keenan Allen the touchdown. I thought that was a difference maker. The beginning of the third quarter when Richard had the 44-yard kick return that led to the Aguilar touchdown. The 3rd-and-4 play on the Raiders 32, the Renfro 53-yard reception to set them up for the Waller touchdown. Then Max Crosby's hit on Justin Herbert, which led to Kwiatkowski getting the stop on the 2-point conversion, which stopped them from tying the game. And they would have only had to kick a field goal in order to tie it. And we probably would have been seeing this game in overtime if that play didn't happen. Those are the difference-making plays of the game for me. Let's grind some sound with Gruden.
Don't get bored with success. Don't do it. All right? You can complete every pass. You can complete them all. I'm telling you. All right? No, it's never been done before.
Yep.
Right now, you hit 7 in a row. Keep it going. Stay alive now.
Of course, Gruden was wearing his mask the entire time during the post game because they were fined all that money and had the 6th-rounder taken away from him, which, of course, would go against the Raiders. But I don't need to talk about that right now. Let's grind some sound with Gruden. And I think just this first clip overall shows the issues that they had with injuries and what they had to overcome. And Gruden says, I'm proud of this team, man.
Well, I couldn't be more proud. You know, it was a terrible weather game last week. We're coming off a loss to Tampa, and, you know, our guys found a way to win. Brandon Parker, like I said last week, didn't think he was going to play. He ends up playing at right tackle, and today he starts for the first time at left tackle. And Sam Young went wire to wire at right tackle for the first time, and we made enough big plays on offense to get out of here, and our defense got the one big stop that won us this game. And we know what we're in for as we get ready for the Chargers in our future. They have a talented young quarterback that never quits.
Yeah, hopefully these Chargers games aren't as scary going around, but they do have a good one in Herbert. Shout out to Brandon Parker, Denzel Good, Sam Young, all of these guys who came in, especially when Alec Ingold was out of the game and you had to rely on your offensive line to get a push. The interior, all of them did a fantastic job filling in. Speaking of which, Isaiah Johnson, who had to fill in for Trayvon Mullen last second. Isaiah Johnson, a 4th-rounder from last year's draft. He hasn't really gotten much playing time, but when his name was called upon, he was baptized, as Gruden says.
You know, he got baptized today in the NFL. And Mullen comes out of the game, and Arnett's on the sideline, and we needed somebody to step up. Keyshawn Nixon hurt his groin, and thank goodness for Isaiah Johnson and his length. And like you said, you got to give him credit. We gave him a game ball, and we gave Brandon Parker a game ball for their work today on as we were shorthanded.
Very well deserved on both ends of the spectrum. But two of the plays that where Gruden made the mistake, one being the end of the first half when he elected to try and go for a big play, even though they were in their own territory and they probably should have just kneeled it to go into the half tied 14-14. Instead, the Chargers got the ball back, making it 17-14. But Gruden says he'll stand behind that play.
Again, that's my call. We scored with 25 seconds left against New England in a two-minute drill. If you look at the play, Waller's wide open. We have a big play to Waller. Unfortunately, the ball got knocked out. We gave up a big third and 15. Then we gave up a touchdown, and we wanted to try to get in long-range field goal position with Carlson. And I don't regret calling it. I do regret the results, though, that's for sure. But we had a great look to Waller. It's too bad the ball got knocked out of there.
So he had his reasons for it, and that's fine. But what I just don't understand still is going for the punt on fourth and two on the Chargers 45 when you're driving down the field and you're getting nothing but positive plays. I thought they could have easily gotten another 2 yards on that. He wasn't even asked about it. But who am I to criticize? They still got the W and are 5-3 on the year. But he did comment on the passing game, specifically on the third quarter, those two drives to start out where they scored on two straight. And he talked a little bit about Derek Carr as well.
We threw the bomb, obviously, on third and 10. Aguilar went up and got it, much like he's done for us all year. He's making big plays. And then the great scramble play to Renfro set us up for another score. Then he hit Waller for a tight window touchdown in the tight red zone. We got to work with Henry Ruggs. We've got to get Ruggs some white line work. You know, he's got to get those 2 feet in, or we would have had another big play. But I thought Derek showed great command, and it's not easy to go out there in this league with the amount of revolving doors that we've had up front. But he communicates well. He's playing well. He had a great scramble for another huge first down on third and 10. And I'm really proud of him and excited for the future. We just hope we can get some men well for next week.
And I know Henry Ruggs hasn't been the greatest so far, but I think that when him and Derek Carr and they start finding ways to find different coverages and work around the safeties in the corners, I think him and Derek Carr will have a great connection. But again, Carr showing that command, that communication, that confidence, everything that you want to see from a quarterback, he's starting to show that in scrambling for first downs, not being afraid anymore, not showing that lack of fear. That's what you want to see out of Derek Carr. Last one that we'll play, it has to do with the pass rush. Max Crosby and Carl Nassib both getting to the quarterback for sacks, but John Gruden says that it needs to be a little more consistent.
Yeah, we need to get better. We did get home a couple times, obviously without Maurice Hurst and Arden Key. We asked Chris Smith to step up. We activated Daniel Ross. Hankins came back. He was not with us all week with his wife having the baby. And, you know, those guys just play hard. You got to tip your hat to them, and you really got to respect the way they play the game. They play hard. And we got to keep getting better and better, and that's what we're going to try to do in the second half of the season.
And I think the key for the pass rush here is, now they had it on third and six, but it was deep in Chargers territory, and I think that drive wasn't going to go anywhere. But they do need more plays like that. We need a sack on the final drive. That's what we need. We need a pass rush then. It's great to have early in the game, and it's great to have when, you know, the game's kind of in a lull and you're just trying to make it to the end. But in the final drive, when the Chargers are driving like that down the field, you need a sack in those situations to kill any momentum that they may have. Hopefully the Raiders get that fixed moving forward. But they were shorthanded without Mo Hurst and Arden Key, two pretty big guys. Mo Hurst being the defensive tackle and Arden Key being that backup edge rusher. But they do need, I think, sacks in times when it's crucial. That'll do it for Grinding Sound with Gruden.
I appreciate you, man. We're getting better.
Yeah.
You feel it?
I do.
So that's it. Nothing feels better on a reaction podcast than talking about a win 31-26 over the LA Chargers, moving to 5-3 on the year, currently sixth seed in the AFC. They're 2-0 in their division. I can't believe they won two straight on the road. They are on their way to face a Broncos team, which just got their asses kicked by the Atlanta Falcons, even though the Broncos just beat the Chargers the previous week before. So the Raiders have all the momentum going back to Vegas, playing the team from Denver for the first time this year. But thanks so much, everyone, for joining Black Hole Sundays. A new episode will be up next Friday to preview a little bit of the Broncos. You can catch me on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, from 5 to 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday. You can get this podcast through your Apple Podcasts, your radio.com app. Just go to the pregame show with Stephen Langford. You can find me there on either one, and you can just search up this podcast anytime you want. And this is what, episode 14? So we're off and running here on Black Hole Sundays. But thanks again, everyone. And remember, for this week, stay safe.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.